climb into the cockpit with pilot and Link Square's Chief Legal Officer, Tim Perilla, as he invites legal leaders aboard to share advice that will help you navigate even the most turbulent times of in-house counsel work. We'll cover a range of topics from data privacy to legal team structure to public company transactions and beyond. You don't want to miss this series. Fasten your seatbelt and prepare for takeoff. You're listening to Cockpit Counsel.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Cockpit Counsel. My name is Tim, and I'm the Chief Legal Officer at Link Squares.
And I'm Alyssa Verzino, producer and co-host of the show. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy the show, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. Now let's jump into our next episode.
Welcome. We are here today with Rosemary Cooperberg, who is the VP of Privacy at Demandbase. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on. It is an aviation-themed show, so we ask everybody what their pre-flight ritual is.
So you're probably going to be mad at me, but okay. I don't really like to fly.
So most people don't like flying.
I feel like I shouldn't be on this spot. Anyway, I like going places. Yep. So the way I get through the flying part is I like to just sort of focus at the beginning before we get on the plane about where we're going and what I'm going to accomplish there. Even if it's only checking the box that now I've been to this new city.
Right.
But like there's a reason I'm getting on this plane and it's going to be fine. So I have to have that mindset first.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, out there that have the exact same mindset. I actually used to, and that's why I started flying.
Oh, so, really? That's so interesting. Do you fly your own plane?
Yep. Yeah. So not as big as, you know, the JetBlue ones, but one day maybe.
It's good to have goals.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, privacy role in-house. Tell me a little bit about your career path, career development, and what brought you here.
Sure. So I started out as a little baby lawyer in private practice at a firm that did, they used to say, everything from appeals to zoning. So it was a little bit of everything. And there was one litigation case that just broke me at the time. It's a dumb case, like it shouldn't have happened, but it was, I think, $700,000 in legal fees for a $30,000 verdict, which I just couldn't do it anymore.
Right.
So I was like, if I go in-house, I'm going to be able to make a difference and I'm going to be able to like avoid all of this. Anyway, so that's how I ended up in-house, is because I wanted to change things from the inside.
Yeah.
Whether that was naive or not, we can debate. But and then since then, I've just had various increasing levels of privacy over the years. At the beginning, I was the only one who was interested, so I did it. Most great careers start.
Yes, that's right.
No one else cared, so all right, I'll do it. And yeah. I love it. So that's
awesome.
How I got here.
So just straight, like, all right, I'm in-house. Were you doing like commercial transactions, or was it like we're hiring for a privacy role?
No, it was before privacy was really a thing. So I'm dating myself, but I was doing commercial transactions for a giant tech and telecom company that did at the very beginning forensic incident response and PCI assessments and all of that. And because I was helping negotiate contracts for that, I had to sort of understand what it was we were selling.
It's important.
Yeah. And then in future roles, I was the one who already knew the stuff. So
there you were. Well, it's a great place to be, right? It's great area of focus for a lot of organizations right now. And so from a career pathing perspective, it's awesome.
Yeah. It's been fun, and it's not ever boring, which I like. Yeah. I need things to move around and change a lot. So worked out.
That's awesome. So, if you had to go back and tell sort of your earlier self when you first got in, what would be the most surprising thing about practicing in privacy?
I think that there is no answer.
Okay.
So that's probably one of the hardest things. It's one of the most fun parts of privacy, but also the hardest, is no one has it completely, totally figured out.
Right.
And it's never going to be the same answer from one organization to another. So you have to just sort of be comfortable being uncomfortable and do the best you can and hope you get it right.
Or at least not irreparably wrong.
Right, exactly. Just don't, some days the goal is just don't make it worse.
Right. Like,
sometimes that's just, that's the bar.
Yeah, exactly. Just getting out alive makes it fine.
Right.
So as far as just some basics, what would you recommend to in-house attorneys, maybe small team in-house attorneys who don't have the time, the resources to really dedicate to getting a firm handle on sort of their privacy position? What are some basic things that you should be looking out for?
I think everyone in-house is a privacy lawyer, whether you know it or not, because everybody's doing something with personal information. Whether you're doing, you know, employment, labor relations stuff, you have employees' data, you're doing technology work, there's data flowing through whatever technology you've developed. So you have to sort of be good at issue spotting with respect to data. Doesn't mean you have to have the answers, but you have to know enough to be like, wait, you're sending data where, to whom, why, what? So I think there's some simple questions. Privacy can be simple. The questions are simple. The answers are complicated. But you just need to know whose data, where is it going, why is it going there? And, you know, the rest of it will follow from that. But you have to know what exactly is going on with data. And a lot of times privacy gets all kinds of data, not just personal information, because if you have to figure out the data flows anyway, you're also figuring out where the intellectual property goes and where the corporate trade secrets go and all of that. It sort of falls in together.
Yeah, it's relatively difficult to have important information going in different places without other parts of your business going there too.
Right.
It's kind of like, what's the point?
Exactly. Right? I mean, data is the thing, right? It's the thing that runs pretty much every business. Yeah. And you have to know what you're doing with it in order to optimize it and sometimes monetize it. And that starts with the privacy requirements. I have a friend who says that if data is the new currency, privacy is the banker.
Yeah.
So like it all comes through us. We got to help figure it out.
Yeah. So do you also play kind of a compliance and counsel role?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that.
So we have a pretty small team at DemandBase right now. So we have a compliance team that does cybersecurity compliance. We also have compliance, like labor and export laws and all of that stuff. And so I do a little bit of everything. And because privacy is so key to our business, I have a bigger, broader view than some of the other folks on the legal team. So I am able to flag stuff that isn't really a privacy thing, but somebody's got to do something about it. So yeah.
Right. Exactly. No one else will do it, so I must.
Kind of, yeah.
That's not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
So what are some of the best practices for, you know, building out a compliance program, keeping things up to date? And also, you know, I think directly intertwined with that is, how are you keeping up with the changes in the privacy laws?
Sign up for a lot of newsletters to keep up.
It's always good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the IAPP has some great stuff. Law firms send out great articles about privacy updates. I'm sure you can probably pay a lot of money to consulting firms who are willing to watch the headlines for you and let you know, but that's not necessary. Most of it's out there. And a lot of privacy now is making headlines. So if I think Montana, their new law took effect last week or something, and like, okay, everybody did an article about Montana's privacy law. So let's just read those and figure out what's real and what's not real, and then we can move on. So But I think as far as building from scratch, you want to be careful not to try to do everything at once.
Right.
Because all of the textbooks, I hear they have textbooks about privacy now, which all wasn't right. a thing when I was in law school, but
yeah.
they'll say, you know, you start with a data mapping and you do data mapping and you do this. What does that actually mean?
Right.
And if you spend 6 or 7 months creating a project plan to figure out what data mapping means at your organization, right. like no one has time for that.
Plan for a plan for a plan.
Yeah. Like yeah. you can spend your whole life planning because you want to try to incorporate everything and get all the nuances and the whatever, which is great if you have the resources for that. But yeah. if you're a smaller team, you don't. So you just have to start somewhere and do something. Right. Maybe it's just start with your HR people team. Figure out where all the employees are, which states are they in and countries. What kind of data do we have? Do we, you know, what do we give to the benefits providers? What do right. we give to the payroll provider? Like, it can be as simple as starting with one department and going out from there, but don't spend your whole life planning because the plan will just encompass yeah. everything always and you'll never get anything done.
Now, it seems like there's, at least my experience has been that there's almost an air of panic about the privacy world, where like if you get the slightest thing wrong, it's going to be catastrophic. And I think that's probably not the case. I mean, depending on how badly you get that one very important thing wrong, but you know, it seems to me like when you're talking about the myriad of laws across many states, like it's not so dire that foot faults are going to, you know, cripple your business, where you do need to have a project plan and get it perfect, right? Like the first time. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. And no one has it perfect. Anyone right. who tells you that they have it perfect, I have yet to see it. So right. I don't really believe them. And I think the regulators especially give a lot of credit for good faith efforts, yeah. right? Like if you are trying and you make a mistake, maybe you get a penalty, but it won't be as bad as if you knew there was a law, you decided not to follow it. You're like, right. nobody's going to catch us. It's not, you know,
right.
the penalties there are going to be a lot more severe.
Yeah.
Rightly so. And so I think if you try, and I do think a lot of organizations are really trying to do the right thing.
Yep.
And if I think that goes a long way, like yeah. all the regulators, I know they're overworked as well. And like, they don't want to penalize people who are trying when there are organizations who are, you know, being a little bit shady sometimes.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like, it's better to not have a policy at all than to have one and not follow it.
Exactly.
Right? Like that kind of thing. I've found in my work with regulators as well, like if you are open, direct, have a good line of communication, show some understanding as to what they're trying to accomplish, most of them are willing to work with you.
Yeah, for sure. And even if you have a different opinion about how to interpret one of the laws, if you can explain why you have that interpretation, the regulators or whoever might not agree with you, but they're not going to be as harsh as if you intentionally decided not to deal with it.
That's right. That's right. So in the area of privacy, especially with it being such a kind of a hot button issue in the legal community, how are you balancing sort of the compliance legal versus the business desires to move forward unhindered?
Yeah, I mean, I think as much as possible, you have to enable the business. Like yeah. I said, if data is the currency, privacy is the banker. So all of that data comes through the privacy team as much, hopefully. But the only way that I know of to 100% comply with all the privacy laws in the entire world is to not have any personal information, which means you can't have any employees, you can't have any customers, you can't, right. like, it's just not So you have to do what's reasonable based on your business. And, right. you know, sometimes the business itself is riskier from a privacy perspective than others. And you have to be comfortable with that and do the best you can, because you cannot, as the privacy team, come in and say, you know, the biggest stream of revenue for our company for the past 15 years. Yeah, we're going to not do that anymore because right. there's a new privacy law in XYZ state or country.
Like, right.
No, you just do the best you can with how you find things. And like I said, sometimes it's just don't make it worse.
Right. Exactly. And where do you see sort of the privacy laws going over the next, pick a time frame, 12, 24, 36 months?
That's a good question. I really wish that I could see a federal privacy law in the US
as
an actual thing, but I've been burned too many times being hopeful about that. So I don't think that's going to happen, which means it's still going to be a patchwork. India has a new privacy law that we are looking at and watching, and that could be a big one for a lot of companies, a lot of in tech especially. They have a lot of employees in India, a lot of work product that comes out of India. So that I think will be a big one. But yeah, I think because privacy is now making headlines, which, you know, I think is a good thing because yeah. privacy is important. Everybody that doesn't, all of the jurisdictions that don't already have a privacy law are trying to catch up so that they're yeah. not seen as falling behind.
No one wants to be the last one.
Nobody wants to be last. Yeah. We saw that with the data breach notification, right? There mm-hmm. were two holdouts for a lot of years, and then all of a sudden they were like, okay, here we go.
Yep.
So it's same thing with privacy law. And I think it's slightly better with privacy law than with some of the other types of laws, where the states are kind of converging. Mm-hmm. Some states still really want to do their own thing and they make up their own definitions and they do their own, which yeah. is not super helpful for organizations.
Yeah.
But there are sort of categories, at least in the US, there's categories of privacy laws, right? And so when a new one passes, you can kind of tell, does this go into the California family? Does it go into the Virginia family? Does it go into the Connecticut family? Like, because
right.
those were some of the earlier ones. So now they're sort of clustering in groups. So that's something.
Yeah. It at least gives you that ray of hope.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But if I were in charge, everyone just like, let's just start by using the same definitions. That's it. That's right. all I'm asking. Like, you can make whatever regulations you want if you just have the same terms mean the same thing. And
yeah.
more than one state at a time, that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Not easy.
Nice. Well, transitioning a little bit to some advice for the listeners. So how do you, like, what best practices do you have for working with other departments when staying compliant, like marketing, IT?
Know where they're coming from. I think that's a big thing. Like, you know, with, we are a marketing tech business. So I need to understand the technology behind marketing. I need to know what an omni-channel strategy is. Like, that was a new one for me. Yeah. You know, you have to understand what their goals are and where they're coming from. Because again, I really do think that most companies and most departments are trying to do the right thing if they understand why it needs to happen and how it impacts them. So, you know, just know what they're talking about and don't slow down the conversation every 30 seconds by asking what an acronym means. I do that, which is super annoying yeah. even for myself. So
I do it too.
Do your homework in advance. Like,
or if my Slack's open, I like yeah, somebody exactly. else be like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. What? Wait, what is that? Hold on. Hold, pause, like you're having a really good conversation yeah. and you're like, wait a second, I can't type fast enough. I need to like pause, have someone explain. And a lot of times there's like, oh, that's an internal definition that we made up and it doesn't really stand for anything, but it's a cool word.
Right.
Okay. But you, I mean, if you do enough homework in advance, then hopefully you don't slow it down too much and they give you some grace yeah. when you do.
You get a couple. You get yeah, a couple of questions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's true.
industry.
What tips do you have for transitioning in-house, whether it's like straight out of law school or from a law firm? Or
3 bullet points. That's all you have to make your point in any communication. Maximum 3, better if you can do it in 1. I did a presentation a while ago at a local law school where I live, and I was explaining to them that the beautiful memos that they were learning how to write that are 20 pages long about one little question, like, that doesn't fly in-house. So if right. you cannot make your point in 3 bullet points or less, you need to keep working until you can narrow it down to get it to be a length that somebody will actually read.
That's an awesome perspective. And then what about thoughts on bringing your authentic self to work?
I think you should do it. Mm-hmm. I do think it's hard for lawyers, especially because there's training to be super formal and super like make it present yourself as though you're all knowing, which you do have to do if you're in front of a judge or a jury, like to some extent, right? But if you're in-house, just be a person and be whatever kind of person you are. And hopefully you're at an organization that will allow you to do that without giving you crap about it. I am a weirdo and I show up as a weirdo every day. So
I think a lot of lawyers early in their career get it wrong. Like that all knowing thing is like, you need to show that you've done your due diligence. Like when I talk to people about that, it's like, you don't necessarily need to have the answers. You just can't appear unprepared.
Right.
Like, it's okay to be like, you know what? I don't know the answer to that. And that just came up. Like, provided it's not an extremely basic thing that you should know, like going in. Like, I'm sure a bunch of the stuff that you're dealing with in privacy, there aren't very clear answers out there.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, hey, I need to distill this issue and I need to go and really figure out something that's actionable.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's completely acceptable to say you don't know the answer as long as you actually do follow up and get back to the person, right? You can't be the one who's like, oh, yes, I will look into that and I will study it and I will get back to, and then crickets, right? You can't be that person, but it's
4 weeks later after decision time has passed.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the business has to keep running. So they've already done the thing that they asked you about, which is fair, right? Because you didn't get back to them to say anything. So they assumed that it's okay to go. And that's fair for them to do in most cases. So you really have to be on it and you have to build the reputation as somebody who will get back to the person who has a question, even if you don't know the answer, which is fine.
Yeah.
If you actually are responsive, then that goes a long way, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Well, we end every episode with some rapid fire questions. So the first one is, what is your hot take on working in-house?
It's a good question. We don't necessarily work less than in a law firm. There's a lot of people who think you take it easy when you go in-house, and I don't think that's real.
Yeah.
Either that or I need to keep looking for a place where I can take it easy.
Awesome. What is your number one communication tip?
Just be real. That's it. Listen, you know, listen to where people are coming from. If, say, it's a product launch and it's 3 days before the deadline and everyone's been scrambling and it's like nobody has time to listen to a lecture for 20 minutes about any, like, no, just meet them where they're coming from, keep it moving, and most of the time it'll work out fine.
Yeah.
What is the best career advice that you've ever given or received?
So there is a privacy and cybersecurity leader named Nubia Shabakur, I believe, Shabakar. And she, I've heard her in a couple of presentations. She says, be consistent, be persistent, and be excellent. And that's my favorite.
Love that.
It's awesome. And then finally, what is a charity or a cause that's close to your heart that our listeners should check out?
They should check out In Harmony with Nature. Okay. It is a wolf and wolf dog sanctuary in Central Florida, ihwn.org.
Nice.
And I hang out there on the weekends and take care of wolves.
That's so cool.
It is. It's pretty cool. And wolves are far less scary than the GDPR. So just on the record.
They're really big, though.
They are very big.
Yeah.
But they're predictable.
I would imagine. I would imagine, right? Like, they're, you know, just responding to stimulus, right?
Yeah, exactly. They just read your energy and they react based on how you are.
So for me, when I saw a dog that would be, say, the size of a wolf and I act terrified, is that a bad thing?
Yeah, usually. You can't let them know you're terrified.
Yeah.
So the best option is not to be terrified. Right. But if that's not an option, then just start laughing really loudly and then...
Then they're like, oh,
they'll think it's fine. Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is an awesome conversation. And yeah, hopefully you'll come back and hang out with us next time.
Too. Yeah, for sure. So, this was so fun. Thanks for having me.
So, and thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us. And if you have any topics for discussion or guests you'd like to see on the show, feel free to submit them to cockpitcouncil@linksquares.com.